You're listening to Faithless Four Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Faithless Four Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Ken Gang West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Wow. You bet you were surprised to see that this chair isn't where it used to be. That's right. It is your host of this evening's event, Christian from Philly, the Philly Nilly with the chili in the willy. Unfortunately, our usual host, Minister of Sinister, couldn't make it tonight because he's sick. So he asked me to fill in the chair. Yes. Now I am the head of the table of Fatal 4 Radio.
He's lying. He's lying.
He's
not sick. He's not sick.
We don't know that. We don't know. I'm just here to fill in.
I'm looking from work sick today, and I made it for the show. I took some medicine and took a long nap. I'm feeling better, but I hope Minister feels better.
Yes, we hope he does a speedy recovery. But before we begin, let's introduce the usual suspects. Let's shine the spotlight on all of them. We have Kevier West.
Yeah.
What's up? We have Albert Inspected.
Oh, God, I'm here. I made it. Hey, it's going to be a fantastic show tonight. Hey, you know, I was going to mention this a little bit later, but I'll mention it a little bit later tonight, too. Shout out to my buddies at DoubleOSaloon.com. They just opened the website. Double O Saloon is a virtual casino. And it is a they have five games: Golden Dragon, X Games, V Power, Orion Stars, and River Sweeps. And each system has a bunch of games. We do morning matches on the Golden Dragon system every day between 8 a.m. and noon. So check out the website for details: DoubleOSaloon.com, or you can text 361-699-1168 to set up your account. And I'll throw that little drop theme drop later. But we didn't get to make a commercial for this tonight, so I'm just gonna throw that in there.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, boys, let the fucking chaos begin, all right? Because we got a lot to do tonight. We have WWE Report, as usual. We have the AEW Full Gear Review and the predictions for Survivor Scam tonight. So we got a very entertaining lineup with yours truly as the host tonight. So let's begin the fucking madness. Let's begin with the birthdays tonight. All right. Tonight, we'll be going over the birthdays between November 16th through November 22nd tonight. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Are you ready, Kevier?
I'm ready. That was me.
All right. Are you ready, Albert?
I'm always ready. Always, goddammit.
All right. So apparently, unfortunately, nobody was born in November 16th as a wrestler. What? Nobody. So we just go to the 17th. There's only two wrestlers that were born in the 17th. 1979, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name, Miko Satomura, 1979. And from 1980, Ryan Broadick. Do any of those names ring a bell, guys?
I can't say they do.
What about you, Albert?
Ryan Braddock?
Yeah, Ryan Braddock.
That sounds kind of funny.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Sorry, I was on mute there. Ryan who?
Ryan Braddock.
Brad Maddox.
No, not Brad Maddox. Ryan Braddock.
No, I have no idea.
I'm with you on this one, guys. I don't know who the fuck these people are either, so let's skip them. All right. I'm sorry if that's rude, but, you know, it is what it is. There's only one
TNA.
Birthday.
He was a TNA jobber, Ryan Braddock.
Oh. Well, there you go. One birthday for November 19th. It was the birthday, and it's the person we all know, all right? 1960, Ms. Elizabeth, also known as the wife of the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Happy birthday, Elizabeth.
Any good memories of Miss Elizabeth, everybody?
Shit, yeah. She's just gorgeous. And she's, every time I watch the thing with my wife where they propose, where he proposes to her, she gets all teared up and stuff. It's so cute. But, yeah, no, it's like the best wedding moment in WWE history was probably Miss Elizabeth getting proposed to. They've done weddings a million times, and that's my favorite one. And then, yeah, no, sad ending, no doubt. But then, but she was gorgeous and, like, just, like, so sweet and did a good job with everything.
All right. What about you, Albert? Any memories of Miss Elizabeth? Albert?
Mute again.
Did he mute himself again?
I guess so.
Oh, my God. Albert.
Albert!
Oh, crap. All right. Well, moving on. Technical difficulties with Albert tonight. Moving on. Rudy Charles from November 20th, 1977. I guess he's a referee, I guess. He sounds familiar, you know. Rudy Charles. Javier?
I was just saying happy birthday. I don't remember the guy at all now. I'm Googling him right now as we speak. Rudy Charles, Dan Engler, American referee.
All right, well, there you go.
Oh, I know.
Not very
impressive. He's a little ref. He's still around. Yeah, he's kind of the little elfish looking WWE ref. He was in TNA too.
Well, so far, ladies and gentlemen, not gonna lie, these names in this list of birthdays has not been so impressive. The only one so far has been Miss Elizabeth. Not gonna fucking lie with you. All right, now we go to the disasters, which is November. They were both born in the same year. And they're both twins, November 21st, Nikki and Brie Bella, the Bella twins, the two twins that never contributed to wrestling instead of sleeping their way to the top.
Oh, man. Are you saying you wish that they would have died in the womb?
No, of course not.
Because they said that.
Yeah,
that's one
Nikki
of the funniest
said that.
Bella. One of the funniest Bella moments was the died in the womb line. And then, no, they were cool. I liked the first season of Total Bellas and or whatever, Total Divas. I liked the first season of that. And I liked, yeah, Total Bellas was the one with Brian on it. So that era of WWE having their own reality shows, like, they were, those shows are all bad. But it was fun to watch the first seasons of them.
Yep. And after that, it went downhill real quick.
Yeah.
Albert, are you back with us?
But the Bellas are cool. Happy birthday. We could see Nikki. We could see Brie Bella in AEW one day, possibly.
Yeah.
Storyline.
No. God forbid, no. Up next is the 22nd. The people who were born in November 22nd. And one of them, I have no idea who the fuck it is, but one of them we do know. From 1951, a man called Skinner. I don't know who the fuck that is. And from 1987, We have Elias.
Nice.
Who the fuck is Skinner?
Skinner had like a he had a backwoods redneck gimmick, like a little cowboy hat, and he was in WWE. But yeah, it was during their cartoon character kind of era, and he was like a backwoods trapper kind of character. He had a big necklace with antlers or something on it. Trained by Gerald and Jack Briscoe and Terry Funk.
Interesting. Well, we all know who Elias is. He's a guy
who... He looks like Elias. They both look very similar.
We all know who that is. But, you know, speaking of Elias, where the fuck is he?
That Rick Boogs came in with the electric guitar and buried his ass. Rick Boogs started shredding, and everybody was like, oh, shit, that dude got an Explorer. He's playing Gibson. Elias got a little Takamine. So, I don't know. Elias burned his guitar. He said he wasn't going to play any more guitar. And then we never saw him again. But he hasn't been released.
He hasn't been released, but he just disappeared. Let's see. Now we're done with birthdays, so that was the birthdays. Up next will be this day in wrestling history. That's right.
Hey, let me do your birthday. Yeah. Let me do your birthday song real quick since Chuck's not here.
Go ahead.
Thing. Happy fucking birthday, all you fuckers. Nobody knew who half of you were. Happy birthday. There you go.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, there's Ricky in the background.
All right, Ricky. All right, good that Ricky's there. Albert, are you back with us?
Ricky's got a tag in for Albert. Ricky, come on. Ricky was in his phone for a second, but he's back with us.
Yeah, because I don't know what happened with Albert.
It's okay. I'm super happy to be here.
Okay, good, Ricky. We're glad to have you here because I don't know what happened with Albert. His phone must have some. I don't know. Let's continue on with this day in wrestling history.
I'm right here.
He's back.
Oh,
I'm
you're
there.
Here finally. What happened?
Nope. That was a little bit of a Norm Macdonald thing right there. I'm right here. I don't know if you guys ever seen the movie.
So what happened?
Screwed.
But
God.
You had McDonald.
Yeah, I had McDonald. No, no, no.
What'd you get?
Phone battery, and then I had to run to get my charger, so it took a minute to charge up. So.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to be in the wrestling history, so you made it just in time. So here we go. I don't know how long these are dated. This could be outdated, but this happened in November 16th, so take this as much as you can. 21 years ago, as of this site that says this, by the way, November 16th, WCW presented Clash of the Champions. I don't know this numeral number. It's XX1X. Take it as you are. 21.
29.
Thank you, Mom. 21. Clash of the Champions 21 in Jacksonville, Florida. The Stars and Stripes, Marcus Alexander Bagwell and the Patriot. That, by the way, that's Buff Bagwell, by the way. And the Patriot defeated Pretty Wonderful Paul Orndorff and Paul Roma to retain the WCW World Tag Team Championships. Johnny B. Bad, what's that fucking guy's name? Johnny
Mark
B.
Merrill.
Bad, I know. Yeah, there
Mark
you go,
Merrill.
Thank you. Yeah, Mark Merrill defeated the Honky Tonk Man by disqualification to retain the WCW World Television Championship. And this was during the time where Honky Tonk Man was a huge dickhead, and he was just like Hulk Hogan. He didn't want him to fucking lose.
Yeah,
because he
was going to lay down fucking Johnny B. Bad. I'm fucking the Honky Tonk Man, damn it. I said I invented this shit. I'm going to lay some guy fucking shitty cover song name. Go out there and fucking wrestle in bingo halls.
Asshole. Sorry. Fucking Honky Tonk Man, what a dickhead. Harlem Heat. Harlem Heat defeated the Nasty Boys, which is surprising because, you know, the Nasty Boys are real good friends with Hulk Hogan, but, you know, it's surprising.
You know,
it's really
the only reason the Nasty Boys had jobs basically in WCW and, of course, later on in TNA was because of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Because they were terrible wrestlers. They were good for nothing. They were bums. They were bummed.
I don't know a lot about the guys. I really followed them.
I kind of wish this podcast we were good friends with Hulk Hogan. Maybe we'd get some some recognition there.
No, Hulk Hogan's a fucking liar, dude. Everything he says, he lies, man. He makes up all the fucking shit. There is a website listing all the fucking lies that he said in his whole life.
You got me,
brother.
That's
a fucking liar. So up next, we had Vader defeating Dustin Rhodes. All right. You know, Vader time. This was when Vader was serious. He was taken seriously. So until he went to WWF and his career died. Hacksaw Jim Duggan defeated Steve Austin by disqualification to retain the WCW United States Championship. Wow, what a good show. Vader ran in less than a minute into the match and attacked Duggan, causing the disqualification. And this is your fucking main event. Dave Sullivan, Hulk Hogan, and Sting defeated Avalanche, Kevin Sullivan, and The Butcher. Mr. T was the special referee. Wow, what a great fucking main event, yeah? Dave Sullivan, Hulk Hogan, and Sting defeated Avalanche, which was Earthquake, Kevin Sullivan, and The Butcher. Three people who couldn't wrestle out of a fucking paper bag.
Is that Abdullah the Butcher?
No, The Butcher as in, you know, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Oh, okay. I didn't know who else had that gimmick. I know the AEW gimmick, The Butcher, but I didn't know anybody else.
Now, this motherfucker had so many fucking gimmicks, it wasn't even funny. First of all, he was called Brutus the Barber Beefcake, then the Zodiac, then the Butcher, then the Disciple, then the other fucking Hollywood Blonde or some other bullshit. Guy had a identity crisis. Identity crisis.
That's funny.
Okay, let's see. 17 years ago today, on Nitro from Wichita, Kansas, Juventud Guerrera defeated Billy Kidman to win the WCW Cruiserweight Championship for the third time. Wow, that's really a feat, really, you know? Even though at this point the Cruiserweights were fucking dead. Juventud Guerrera and Billy Kidman, although they were fine athletic performers, were never going to be taken seriously because of Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, and the other fucking cliques. So they were doomed to fail from the beginning.
I do look back really fondly on the WCW Cruiserweights. Like, the Billy Kidman especially, and then Juventud has always been badass. But there were so many guys that not even necessarily came to WWF afterwards. But yeah, the Cruiserweight division was cool. And I don't know, I guess that's it. I mean, I bet that match was really good, but it probably did suck for them in the long run in WCW.
All right. Albert? Albert?
Damn it. Ricky, you remember the Cruiserweights, dude? You remember Billy Kidman with the 7-year itch?
They need to bring back the Cruiserweights. Cruiserweights were like...
They brought it back, bro. They have their own show. It's 203 Live. The show where...
Yeah, I bet it wasn't... It wasn't anything like, you know, the late 90s Cruiserweights, but still, I mean, it garnered some, you know, 205 Live. That show was pretty good. And but I just wish it was featured more prominent. You know what I mean? Like, if it was like a featured thing on, like, Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the Cruiserweights. Like, the first match or something, you know, like how they used to do it on Nitro.
Interesting. Speaking of Nitro, we continue on. 15 years ago, this is a rare thing, WCW presented Millennium Final from Arena in Oberhausen, Germany. The German exclusive pay-per-view is the final international pay-per-view put on by WCW. Basically, this was like rebellion and insurrection, but this was never televised. That's the only difference, all right? So, let's see. The first match, oh boy, Chronic defeated the Filthy Animals, Rey Mysterio, and Billy Kidman. Wow, what a fucking good match. That's a good match. Having two fucking giant men defeat small men. That's fair. Mike Awesome eliminated Alex Wright to earn a spot in the European Cup qualifying match. The other participants were Brian Adams, Brian Clark, Disco, Fit Finley, Mark Jindrak, Billy Kidman, Conan, Kiwi, Ernest Miller, Rey Mysterio Jr., Sean O'Hare, General Rection, Mike Sanders, Elix Skipper, Norman Smiley, and Lance Storm. My God, what the fuck? Kiwi, that was a fucking battle royal. That was a battle royal. Not a battle royal to determine who could be the number one contender for a world title or any title, mind you. A battle royal to determine who would be enter in a fucking European Cup. Wow. What are your thoughts on that?
It just sounds, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a normal wrestling show. It sounds like some events that you would see at, like, an NWA wrestling show kind of thing like that. Because they have all these, you have these theme matches, and people still do that kind of stuff, where it's like, this is for a chance to enter this tournament, or this is for, the contendership. Shit like that, probably, they're probably trying to portray that a little bit. Like, ways for people to get different contenderships. But I don't know. Wrestling was different back then, so I wasn't really watching at the time. I bet if I was watching it, it probably overall didn't really matter. Like, those matches didn't really matter. It, like, only got down to, like, the main event.
Well,
like, it just seemed like some live wrestling event.
What are your thoughts on it, Albert? Good one. Sick. Ricky?
I have no thoughts on it. I have no recollection of any of that stuff going down.
Yeah. I only recognize a few people in those matches. I mean, they were probably cool matches. They were probably good classic, like, WCW slow wrestling 90s-style matches. But
yeah.
But it was probably boring, too. It's like one of those things on the network that I wouldn't watch.
It's
but
not
you can't
on the
watch
network.
It because it wasn't televised. I know, that's the thing. Like, you can't, you know, but if it was, I probably wouldn't watch it. You know what I mean?
No, because it gets worse. Kiwi defeated Elix Skipper. Ernest Miller defeated Mike Sanders to become the commissioner of WCW. General Erection defeated Lance Storm via disqualification in a U.S. WCW United States Championship match. Norman Smiley defeated Fit Finley in Oktoberfest hardcore match. Alex Wright and General Rection defeated Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare to win the WCW World Tag Team Championships. Fuck.
Bro, who the fuck
can you believe
General
this shit?
Rection? Is that Hugh Morris? Who's General Rection? Is that that guy?
Yeah, Hugh Morris. But can you believe this shit? These are the same people that just were in a battle royal, and they're wrestling again twice and three times in this fucking show. Can
right.
you believe this shit?
Why have the battle royal? Like, just to stretch time? That's really the only reason why. They have limited guys, and they had to stretch time out.
Alex Wright wrestled 3 fucking times in this show alone. This is his 3rd match right now. And guess what? This battle royal was pointless. No wonder this... You know why it's pointless? This tells you why this company went out of business. Kevin Nash defeated Mike Awesome and Alex Wright to advance to the European Cup Final. So you mean to tell me, right, fucking Mike Awesome eliminates Alex Wright last to win a battle royal to advance in the European Cup Final. Then Alex Wright wins the WCW tag titles. And then, for some reason, even though he gets eliminated in a battle royal, he gets another opportunity for this European Cup. And they both, the fucking winner of the battle royal and the runner-up, both lose to Kevin Nash, even though he wasn't even a part of this fucking battle royal. And now he's going to the fucking finals.
Yeah. That doesn't make any fucking sense. That's crazy. Kevin Nash was the booker at the time?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe, maybe not. What about you, Ricky? How you feel about this insanity?
Man, I don't know. I haven't been listening. I'm sorry. I'm a bystander.
Put Ricky on the spot.
Don't put me on the spot, man.
I'm talking about WCW. Dude, we're sitting here talking. He's been.
Well, I actually kind of like WCW. Like back in the day, I remember being in 5th grade and looking forward to like Monday night, and I would always flip back to WCW. I thought it was like, it's kind of like watching Pokemon and Digimon.
Yep.
Like Pokemon was WWF and Digimon was WCW.
That's a good analogy.
And like I would flip back and forth whenever like the commercials would come through. But I always loved like DDP. I always loved everybody. Loved Kevin
Nash. Did you like
Nash.
Kevin Nash?
I love Kevin
I
Nash.
I love Kevin Nash too. So Kevin I can't Nash be is, mad at the guy. But
Kevin
is,
Nash is
you could
cool.
be mad at the guy for the booking that Chris was talking about. That's
yeah.
fucking ridiculous.
I think they didn't get their people right, and they went way too hardcore. Not hardcore, but like Vince was gonna buy it out. But we'll get into AEW later. But
yeah,
I think WWE or WWF at the time was gonna completely ruin. It was gonna take over. It was just.
And these are the reasons why. That's why.
Just gonna take over.
He's like, I'll tell you why this company went out of business, and it's because of booking like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've done all right. wrestling. I thought it was cool, but, like, Hollywood, like, Hulk Hogan, like, okay, you're going to bring this dude back. Whatever. I watched his crappy movies in the early 90s. I liked them being a kid. But if you go back and you watch, like, what was one of them? Thunder was one of them. They're like,
yeah, I can't remember what they're called. I didn't watch the Hogan movies.
I watched Hulk movies back in the day.
All right. Up next, we had Booker T defeated Scott Steiner to retain the WCW World Championship. All right. And then the final main event match. This whole European Cup thing has been a fucking disaster. Sting defeated Kevin Nash by submission to win the WCW Cup. So another guy who was not even involved in this shit wins the fucking cup by defeating Kevin Nash, who was also not involved in this shit. What a great event. No wonder this wasn't fucking televised. No wonder. Great. All right. Now we go to, let's see, what else? Let's see. Oh, okay. 11 years ago today at a SmackDown taping, in Dayton, Ohio, John Cena defeated Carlito in just 25 seconds to win the WWE United States Championship. Because that's how you want to book new stars. Have them debut and then let them lose the title immediately, making them a fucking schmuck. Nice. That's nice. And then the last... And by the way, before we go to the last history, Albert, are you back with us now or? Okay, well, still technical difficulties. Hopefully, Albert will be back with us on the rest of the show, hopefully.
It's all good.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. Okay. 12 years ago today, from the American Ally Center in Dallas, Texas, 3,487 were attendance for the Survivor Series in 2003. This was the Survivor Series where everything was on the line for Stone Cold Steve Austin. If you don't remember, if Austin's team loses, he gets fired. If Eric Bischoff's team loses, Austin stays. So a lot was on the line for this show. In the pre-show, Sunday Night Heat, Tajiri defeated Jamie Noble to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. On the match of the show, on the first match of the show, it was Team Angle, Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, John Cena, Hardcore Holly, and Bradshaw defeated the fucking mess, the clusterfuck mess of Team Lesnar, which was Brock Lesnar, The Big Show, and the three other fucking schmucks. I want you to get ready for these three other names on this fucking this team. Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan, by the way, a guy who's on TNA. I bet you some of you didn't even remember Matt Morgan was in WWE. You know? I mean, Kevin, do you remember Matt Morgan in WWE?
I remember the name Matt Morgan, but I got to look him up because I don't remember what the guy looked like.
He's from TNA. He's a fucking guy who they tried to make him a world champion in TNA, and it didn't fucking work. They tried.
Gotcha. Terrible. No, he doesn't look familiar.
Well, I don't blame him. He's fucking terrible. Nathan Jones, because people don't know who the fuck Nathan Jones is, he's a guy that Undertaker tried to take him under his wing, and the guy fucking sucked. Can't fucking wrestle. He can't talk. He was an abject failure. So he fucking sucked. And A-Train, you know, Albert, all that shit. So that, of course, that team was going to fucking lose because the two great workers of Big Show and Brock Lesnar, they were the only two fucking great workers. You have fucking Matt Morgan who can't fucking wrestle. You have Nathan Jones who also can't fucking wrestle. What'd you expect? What did you really expect? In a 5-on-3 handicap match in the Survivor Series, three of them fucking won against five. By the way, Lesnar was the WWE champion at the time, by the way. So that means the WWE champion didn't have a title match on Survivor Series, and he lost.
Wow.
Great. Molly Holly defeated Lita to retain the women's championship. Kane defeated Shane McMahon in an ambulance match. This was during the feud where after Kane tombstone Linda McMahon, and Kane and Shane had three matches against each other, or maybe two. It was a False Count Anywhere match, first one. Kane won that. And then this one was the ambulance match, the final match, and Kane won again. Because, you know, it didn't make sense for Shane to win because, come on now, Kane is the monster. This was the best Kane. 2003 Kane was underrated when he unmasked. What are your thoughts on underrated Kane?
No, Kane is, like, one of the best things they ever created. Kane's definitely one of the most iconic characters, Kane and Undertaker. So, I mean, yeah, Kane was involved in some pretty goofy stuff afterwards. This was like still a scary like monster storyline for Kane, so that's good for the character, you know. I think the only funny one that was good for him was whenever it was Team Hell No or whatever. But Kane's super sick.
I got worked because I thought they were actual brothers.
Yeah, everybody did.
I always thought they were actual brothers. But they weren't. But being a young kid at the time.
Kane having the fire in the ring was the coolest thing. That's the main thing that set him apart from everybody was being able to launch fire out of the turnbuckles. Like,
fuck everybody. Like, yeah, remember that, like, that Undertaker Kane match where, like, they every time, like, they dropped on the bomb, like, the fire was...
Yeah, they were turning on that, yeah.
That's
but, yeah,
me.
Bill Kane. Kane should have been on
Bill
Team West.
Yep, Bill Kane. The Basham
well,
Brothers.
Go Kane, go Kane or
defeated.
Corporate Kane?
Yeah, Corporate Kane was still pretty cool. It's not even Corporate Kane.
Yeah. The Basham Brothers defeated Eddie and Chavo Guerrero to retain the WWE Tag Championships. Then the other Survivor Series team match happened between Team Bischoff, which was Chris Jericho, Christian, Randy Orton, Scott Steiner, and Mark Henry. By the way, at this point, Scott Steiner was fucking trash. This was 2003. You all remember him as having the worst fucking matches with Triple H ever. God, those were awful. Versus the team of Team Austin, which was Shawn Michaels, RVD, Booker T, and the Dudley Boys. As a result, you know, Randy Orton won for Team Bischoff. He was the sole survivor. And because Randy Orton is the greatest Survivor Series team match member ever. He's one of the greatest. Three-time sole survivor, by the way. Historical facts. 3 years in a row, 2003, 2004, and 2005. He always been the sole survivor. There you go. He wins for Team Bischoff. And the final match, would you believe this? This wasn't the final match. This was the semifinal match. This was Vince McMahon, Undertaker in a Buried Alive match. This would be the Undertaker's last match as the American Badass before he returned to WrestleMania to face Kane as the Dead Man again. Truth be told, Undertaker didn't want the American Badass gimmick to end. But everybody in the back, Bruce Pritchard wanted the Dead Man, so he was forced to. Can you imagine if the American Badass still continued, even if it was buried alive? Would you have been mad, or would you have been okay if the American Badass still continued, Kevin?
I would have preferred for the Dead Man to come back. Definitely, if it was buried alive, then yeah. If he came back, then come back as the Dead Man or some other form, because he did other forms of the Taker too. So he'd come back as a different, new, crazier form. It would have been cool to get like a white Undertaker where he's like wearing all white and like the lights are all bright. He's like this like good force of nature Undertaker. I'm spitballing right now.
They did it with a different character.
Yeah.
I would have wanted him to have like the American Badass. Okay, so I liked it.
Would they have Booger Red? Was what they called him, right, or something like that? They called him.
I liked it, but
Big Red.
Could have Undertaker powers and American Badass, that would have been cool.
If he had the Dark Man, the Dead Man powers.
He had Dead Man powers as the American Badass,
like a motorcycle that shot lightning out of it,
something like that. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and then
no, I
and
like
then the
American
main
Badass
event.
Gimmick. Because I liked the ride, the last ride, dude. The last ride was a fucking badass powerbomb. But yeah.
Well, I mean, I think Taker would have been better as the Nick Cage movie, motorcycle movie.
Oh, the Ghost Rider.
Yeah. But he would have been too old for that, and Ghost Rider is a young man, so.
Yeah.
Nick Cage was
Johnny Blaze.
Nick Gage was not a young man when he did that.
Well, he was still in his 30s, so I don't know. That's debatable.
Yeah.
Undertaker's not that good at
acting
either.
Who, that's not what we're talking about, Ricky.
Who would you
think
would be a good
Ghost Rider? A WWE wrestler?
Yeah. A WWE wrestler that would have been like a really good Ghost Rider.
Well, if that's the case, it should have been Kane. Because the whole fire thing.
Yeah, fire and chains and stuff.
I agree. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I can get back to it. We can't redo the movie, but.
All right. We go to the main event of Survivor Series. Goldberg retains the world title against Triple H. And again, I feel bad for Triple H because 2003 was not his fucking year. Even though he, the Reign of Terror, Triple H has gotten fucking terrible fucking matches. First, it was Scott Steiner. Then his best friend, his good buddy Kevin Nash with a fucking terrible Hell in a Cell match. And now he had to face twice Goldberg. But, you know, Goldberg's not a fucking good wrestler either. So I feel bad for Triple H in 2003. He got fucked when it comes to matches. How the fuck can you get a good... How the fuck can you have a bad match with Triple H? Like, seriously. Like, Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, and fucking Goldberg. And can you believe it's coincidental that they're all from WCW?
Yeah.
Can you believe it? Coincidentally?
None of them know how to wrestle?
No, yeah.
Are they saying Trips didn't know how to wrestle?
Trips is one of the best. Trips is, like, I love, like, how he wrestles in the ring. Like,
I'm not saying, Triple H doesn't know how to wrestle. I'm just saying those people that he faced didn't know how to fucking wrestle.
So they're all infamous for not knowing how to work, yeah. So, like, it makes sense. They don't know how to do it. But, yeah, it does suck for Triple H. Like, overall, his career is great. He's got this cool thing, but, like, I wonder if things are, like, how he, like, had hoped they would be. Like, if his career path went how he hoped it would.
Are you talking about, like, how, like, it flipped over, like, back when Stone Cold, like, took
there
his
was time. Yeah. There was times where
he
got passed over.
Said.
Yeah.
Because it would have been him, and like Stone Cold wouldn't have done what he did if.
There was this whole Reign of Terror that he had, where he just buried everybody too. So I mean, like, he's got the same reputation that John Cena and Hulk Hogan have, where they buried people and like hurt people's careers to get to where they were. Triple H and the Click and all those guys are known for that too. So
I'm just saying, 2003 was the worst year for him. Because he had fucking terrible feuds with fucking Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, Goldberg, fucking Kane with the whole Katie Vick bullshit.
Yeah, that's all he had to work with was these guys.
Awful.
Steiner sucks, dude. Steiner was the first wrestler I ever met, and, you know, he's probably an okay, nice person now and again, but he sucks. He's had the worst matches I've ever seen.
He's awful. He had a terrible match with Kurt Angle in TNA. How the fuck can you have a terrible match with Kurt Angle? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Okay, so this is a side note. Where's Kurt Angle now? Is he a part of anything?
No, he's at home.
Yeah, he just talks on Twitter every once in a while.
Because I hated Kurt Angle like growing up, but now I like actually like Kurt Angle for some reason. So like, I want to know like where he's at. Like I want. Is he a part of wrestling somehow?
He was back for a while in WWE. He came back to WWE and had storylines and was one of the main characters and stuff.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago. He left like 2 years ago.
He just has a wrestling podcast now. Every fucking wrestler, Stone Cold's fault, by the way. Since Stone Cold has his own fucking podcast, every fucking wrestler wants to do their own fucking podcast. Jeff Jarrett does his podcast, fucking Kurt Angle, fucking Eric Bischoff. Ever since
Stone
Cold,
Stone Cold had his own reality show, like it's the Broken Soul Ranch. Like,
it's cool that they're all doing podcasts because I love listening to Shoot interviews, and Shoot interviews you used to have to pay for a shitload of money to order these things. But now these guys are doing podcasts on their own time, and like, that shit's free, bro. So you can listen to fucking Shoot interviews for free.
Yeah, so that concludes the end of this day in wrestling history. Now let's go to the fucking good shit. Let's review AEW Full Gear. Time to talk about AEW. Albert, are you back with us?
Albert. No.
I guess he's still having technical issues. What were you gonna say, Kevin?
I was just cheering for Albert.
Yeah. All right, well, now time to review AEW Full Gear. And I must say, gentlemen, this was the best fucking pay-per-view of the year, too. Two great pay-per-views, back-to-back. What are the chances? It's astounding. It's astounding how a great writing and great wrestling can make a great pay-per-view. It's shocking, really. It's an unheard-of concept. Can you believe it, Kevin? It's an unheard concept.
I agree. I couldn't believe it. We were all struck.
Yeah, we sat down. We watched the whole thing. We watched the whole thing last night, and I was like, it didn't stop.
We were like, when's it going to slow down a little
bit? It's not going to slow down. It didn't slow down whatsoever. Even the women's match, like everything about it, like every match, like I was like, holy shit!
Yeah,
this is why I like wrestling, or like what I dug about wrestling. Back in the day, the storytelling was good. I hate to S the D, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's begin with the card. Let's begin. We go to the pre-show, the buy-in. We go to Akira Shida and Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter and Nyla Rose. Well, you know, this is the buy-in. Of course, this match will be in the buy-in because there was really no build for this match. I mean, it was just a random tag match, to be honest. I mean, we don't know why Nyla Rose was teaming with Jamie Hayter. I must have missed something in Dark or Elevation or Rampage or Dynamite. But, yeah, it was an okay match. But it was nothing really special, really, to be honest. Serena Deeb was there in the audience, you know. She tried to distract Sheeta. And
she's
then the
funny.
Baby faces win.
Every week I love seeing Serena Deeb on TV. She cracks me up for some reason.
Yeah, because she's the one who was with CM Punk when she bald her hair. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
That's why. All right, now we go to the good shit. Now we go with the good stuff, the main show. Up next is MJF versus Darby Allin. What can I say except that is how you fucking open a fucking pay-per-view. Fucking great spots. Great technical wrestling athleticism. This was the greatest way to open a pay-per-view. That fucking spot where MJF did a tombstone pile driver on the rope apron. It was sick.
Yeah.
The spots
so well
were great.
Done too. The way he put his knees together when he did it, like it was so professionally done, dude. It was so good.
Yep. But the shocking thing is I thought Darby Allin was going to win. No. In fact, MJF won using his diamond rings and cheated to win. See, I'm not mad that he cheated because he's a heel and his type of heel works. Unlike certain other people that makes no sense and makes them weak. We'll get to that when we get to that tonight. We'll get to there. So, yeah, MJF wins, but this feud is far from over. I think the next time they have a match, they're going to ban the diamond ring. They're going to have to ban it. So, yeah, what are your thoughts about this match, everybody?
It was sick, and they, like, Darby wrecked a car at the beginning. He like had a guy dressed as MJF with like a piece of paper over his face and like freaking smashes the car, wrecks it, and is like implies that he's dead. It's like cool. It was cool imagery because he's like, look, we're in this car together. I'm gonna flip it over. I'm gonna get out of the car and you're not. And then he loses, but it's just like it was cool. Like it was a little artistic thing from Darby. He does that shit every time. It's pretty cool. And his makeup looks sick, dude. Everybody that had makeup on last night, or whenever, you know, Saturday night, it was sick. And then other than that, yeah, I mean, just his coffin drops were crazy. Like, he did a couple of really crazy coffin drops where I guess he does those all the time, so maybe that is wearing off a little bit, but that is still a crazy move to just flat fall back onto somebody or onto the ground or whatever.
I remember telling Kevin, I was like, Sting's gonna come out like one time during the match.
Yeah.
And he did. He brought the baseball bat. He was, like, killing people on the apron.
Yeah.
No, it's not the apron.
Sting looked good.
Yeah.
Sting was whooping their ass. Sting will get involved with MJF somehow in the future. But, yeah, no, it was a great match. Great way to start. And we did see the thing hanging out of his pants, bro. He had, like, a green, like, the ring was on, like, a green cloth or something. And at the beginning of the match, for, like, the first half of the match, you can see it sticking out of his tights. And I was like, what's
that
hanging out of his pants?
I think
you know?
That was intentional.
Yeah.
It might have been.
And, like, you think he was showing it so people would see it and know that he has, because I was thinking about it. You know, I was like, what the fuck is that? And then, and then he pulls it out of his tights and punches the guy. I forgot that he had the ring. But, yeah, that's part of his gimmick. So it's good storytelling. Good match.
All right. Up next, after that, it was the AEW Tag Team Championships, the Lucha Brothers versus FTR. What more do I have to say except great tag team action. This is how you do tag team wrestling. This is how you do fucking spots, a story. FTR has been great. Fuck the Revival. FTR is the fucking best, all right? They're not boring no more. They're actually good now. They're actually good. Lucha Brothers win, and yeah, good stuff. Good fucking stuff. Thoughts?
But
they brought out the green mask there at the end of the match.
Lucha Bros didn't pin the legal man, right? That's how that match ended.
But it didn't matter. It was the final. It did not matter.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, man. It was some of the most, we were talking about it last night. We watched it last night. It was like the prettiest or like the most beautiful storytelling like I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
I hate to be romantic about it all, but it was really great wrestling. Like it made me want to watch wrestling again.
And then
be a part of it.
And then I watched the highlights from Raw and SmackDown and I was like,
yeah, we're watching like
a we'll get to that.
We will. But no, it was really good last the pay-per-view was good. And those guys, FTR is sick as fuck. They were badass. And just every match, I kept being like, oh, shit, this is going to be really good, just because of who was in the match. Like, the card was stacked.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Up next, we had good technical wrestling, a bout between two submission beasts. We've had Miro, God's favorite champion, versus Bryan Danielson. To see who would become the world championship number one contender. In the end, it was Bryan Danielson. But my God, was this good. Miro looked like a beast, looked like a monster. Danielson with his technical ability knows no bound. This was a great finals. And the way that Danielson won, because he won, it gave you that doubt in the main event and who's going to win, but that was a good swerve. Him winning gave you doubt about the main event.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I was pulling for both of them, actually. It's one of those weird, I haven't had this since like back in the day, but like, it was like one of those weird things, like pulling for both of them.
Yeah.
Like whoever I was gonna be happy with whoever won. It was such a great match, man. Like it was just like all over. It was like nonstop. Like I was tired. Like I remember like telling Kevin, like halfway through the pay per view or whatever the hell you call these things now. I remember being tired, just like being like I was like whoa, like I'm just like invested in everything.
Yeah, you're
right. I was like if he won, I wanted Bryan Danielson to win. Obviously, I like Bryan Danielson, but Miro is he looks fucking good.
Yeah, I knew that Miro wasn't gonna win, but like you said, Christian, like it did. It was like a projection thing. Like we're like if Bryan won, then that meant that like he kind of didn't know what was gonna happen in the main event. Because of that, yeah.
Miro's star is
so
bright,
it was
though.
Cool booking to have, like, the contendership match before the main event, the championship match, and kind of, like, wondering where the future is going to go. Yeah, that was pretty badass.
You can't say Miro's star is not bright. Like that dude can wrestle and
yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah, he's way better than he was always good. But, yeah, I've loved him since NXT, bro. All these guys that we saw in AEW were like NXT alumni too. There was like three. There was like three different dudes that were like NXT alumni: Brian, Pac, Rusev, or Miro. Guys that I used to love in 2012, 2013 NXT. You know,
I always thought that they like misused Rusev like a lot, like in WWE.
Brian Danielson in NXT, Brian Danielson in NXT was fucking trash. They booked him like a geek.
Yeah, true. But he's always been funny to me. Like, the geek, even when he's geeky and shit, he's like funny. Because he wrestles good still. He's always wrestled the same.
Yep. Up next, we've had, you know, this was fucking insanity. The six-man tag between Christian Cage and Jurassic Express versus the Super Click. And this was fucking crazy. That jumping spot that Luchasaurus did, a man his size should not be able to do a jumping flip off the top of the ramp. A man his size should not be able to do that. It was insane. The spot. Adam Cole busted open the concerto, and the fact that Christian Cage, a man his age, is still able to do this is inspiring. This was fucking great. And this also told a story for the main event too. See, this match also linked the main event and what happened in the main event. It gives you mind wondering what's going to happen this Wednesday, you know? What allegiance is going to happen?
Right.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was crazy. Jungle Boy is being like, Jungle Boy's got like a rocket strap to his back right now. Like, that guy is going to be like a huge star in a year.
Yeah,
I think that we'll see Jungle Boy versus Hangman Page in the next like 3 or 4 months, probably.
Jungle Boy is one of my favorites right now, for sure.
But yeah, Jungle Boy is like really, really awesome. And then the team up is just cool. It works because it's like these good guys, it's this baby face faction that works better than like the Dark Order does. So Christian, like you said, Christian Cage is doing like his best stuff right now too. He looks like $1 million and like he was kicking ass in the match too. I guess the Bucks, like, they're just always awesome. They were just, I don't know, them and Adam Cole together again, like Adam Cole being in AEW again is awesome. So, I mean, that was like another, it just didn't stop. Like we said, the velocity was just going up the whole time during this. And that was like the match where people started like jumping off of shit and breaking tables and shit, you know.
It didn't stop. It was nonstop. Like from watching it from A to B, like it was nonstop. Like it was great.
But I think Jungle Boy is the one to watch from all this too. Like I think that Jungle Boy is going to get like a lot hotter after this. They're already, it's obvious that they're pushing on him in. But yeah, he's going to get like the Daniel Bryan treatment in AEW, like the Yes Movement thing. Because they're obviously doing this thing in AEW where they mention what the crowds are cheering for, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and we'll get to that later too, but there's like moments where the crowd was cheering or booing people against what they were trying to do, and the wrestlers are like acknowledging that shit now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's kind of what you want. You want the crowd to be in it. If the crowd's not in it, then
go
home. What were you going to say, Christian?
No, like if the crowd ain't in it, pack your shit up. You know, you're fucked if the crowd ain't in it. So, the next match that happened after this spectacular six-man was the tag match that, you know, to be honest, I don't even think you should have been on the pay-per-view. It was Cody Rhodes and Pac versus Malakai Black and Andrade. You know, the crowd still hate Cody. Nothing's ever going to fucking change that. Cody was practically useless in this match. Let's be fucking honest. He barely did anything. The guy sold so much on the fucking floor. Pac did the majority of this fucking match. And right now, today, as we speak, I think the pressure has gotten to Cody because as of right now, he's deleted his Twitter account If that doesn't say this man is under a lot of pressure and he's weak-willed, I don't know what is. I mean, come on, man. Grow some fucking balls. If you have to turn heel, go ahead and turn heel, man. Like, there's no such thing as a perfect baby face, bro. Like, you're going to get stale no matter what, all right? Sure, people will like a baby face now and again, but they're not going to like a baby face forever, man. You need to change your fucking character. And that's why people are fucking booing you. Because you're not the fucking coolest guy in the fucking company. A lot of people are more cooler than you, in my opinion. I'm sorry, bro. Malakai is more cooler than you. Andrade is more cooler than you. Adam Cole's cooler.
Well, even though he's the guy that brought everybody over.
Yeah.
Is he not the guy that fucking made AEW? Or like the face that made AEW?
I know, but the fact is he's not cool. That's the problem. He's generic. He's a cookie cutter baby face.
We were
he's
thinking whenever he came out last night, we marked out. I've always been a Cody Rhodes fan, and but we were marking out. We were like, this guy is so cool. I don't know why people fucking hate this guy. Like, this is so fucking cool.
Well, I was making he's
like Homelander from.
He's the Homelander guy,
or definitely the Captain America kind of thing. But I mean, it's bigger than that. Like, I think that his character is really cool. Arn Anderson stuff that they were doing the last few weeks was really cool. But I can see that the crowd hates it. Everybody can see that. And it's like, if Cody had never said that he wasn't going to turn heel, or never said that he wasn't going to challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship or whatever, like, if he hadn't said those things, then the people wouldn't be so hard on him to turn heel right now, I don't think. Like, if he was just a baby face, and they were just, it could happen more organically. Like, now he doesn't want to turn heel because they're trying to force him to.
You know,
he already said that he's not going to do it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you both these questions. Is he not supposed to, the face of AEW? Isn't he the face of AEW?
I don't think he is anymore, but yeah, he's what
no.
He is. He's like a behind-the-scenes CEO type character, yeah.
And he comes out and he does, phenomenal wrestling. I don't think he does a bad job. Maybe he might be baby-faced and he's, trying to get off.
Nobody thinks he does a bad job. They're bored with the character, like Christian's saying. They're bored with the red, white, and blue blonde hair.
Oh, yeah, like white guy.
I'm
white
doing
guy
this for you, the people. I love you all kind
yeah.
of character. They're tired of that.
Maybe you might show
because
him.
Cody was
you.
A good heel.
No.
Cody's done a bunch
no,
of different
but that's
characters.
The problem.
Cody was,
that's,
Cody's
but that's
a really
the problem.
Good heel.
But that's the problem. He doesn't want to. He says he'd rather retire now than turn heel. He's serious about it.
Crazy. Why? Has he given a good reason
why? I
mean, D-Bry came back from a spinal injury. He's wrestling in his best days right now.
I mean, he's a super baby face, too. D-Bry would go heel again, too, though.
But I would like to see that, actually.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why Cody wouldn't go heel again, because Cody did such a good job during the Bullet Club era, Cody bullshit, or the elite Cody, you know. So, I don't know. We'll see. It sucks that he deleted his Twitter. If he, Christian said, grow some balls, he does need to fucking, if he's a corporate businessman, then you can't go doing that shit. You know, Triple H never deleted his Twitter.
I'll book this now. Okay, we'll talk. Maybe it might not happen a year. It might be a couple of years. But I see a dirty, nasty Cody Rhodes versus Kenny Omega eventually.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen.
That's my personal wrestling. I would like to see that match.
I would just like to see Cody keep doing the babyface thing and let the crowd fucking get over it and let it happen organically where he's like. Maybe, let him be this fucking badass character. WWE has these kind of characters, too. That's not an excuse to have, these pure babyface characters, I guess. But it's there is a way where they could get him over. They just have to find how to get him over as a babyface. If he's not going to turn heel, they can find a way to get him over as a babyface.
And Moxley's still, he's still recovering, right?
Yeah.
So Moxley wasn't a part of any of this. So he's recovering.
But it's like ECW, where the crowd, for the AEW crowd, is over with heels. All the heels are in love with.
Yeah.
And they're in love with the heels. So
yeah.
It's harder for the baby faces to get over. Less certain people.
At this point, Cody Rhodes is John Cena. At this point. All right, so speaking about the match was okay, but I felt like it wasn't needed in the pay-per-view, to be honest. That's just my opinion.
That was the match where they were tagging each other all crazy? That was the best part of that match. That's what I was telling Ricky. I was like, this is a really cool story, like where they're just like keep tagging each other in. The teams are incoherent.
Each
kind of
team
thing.
Did it too.
Yeah, both teams were just like fighting over who was going to do what.
All right, so up next we have CM Punk versus Kenny Kingston. This was the match of the night for me. This was fucking great. This wasn't a wrestling match. This was a fucking fight, all right? CM Punk came out with his UFC attire. That's how you know this is a fucking serious fight. Eddie Kingston, by the way, this was a pro-Eddie Kingston crowd. I don't know if Eddie Kingston's born in Minnesota or whatever, but the crowd fucking loved Eddie Kingston that night.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some fans chanting for CM Punk, but when CM Punk was wrestling, excuse me, by the way, when CM Punk was wrestling, CM Punk got booed. Like, this is the first time I heard he got booed in AEW in this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
He got booed when he was winning. CM Punk got busted open. He mocked John Cena's five-knuckle shuffle, which I don't know what that means. Does that mean John Cena's coming to AEW then? Because it doesn't make sense why CM Punk, for some reason, did John Cena's five moves of doom. Does that mean he's coming to AEW?
I think it's because their promo was a callback to the Cena feud, too. Like, there was stuff hidden in the promo that they did before this match. There was, like, lines that him and Cena had used whenever he originally feuded with Cena.
Well, do you think – okay, so I remember watching this match. Do you think CM Punk bladed when he was down there on the ground whenever he started bleeding?
Definitely did.
Of course.
He definitely did, and he's lucky that it stopped bleeding as much as it was.
Yeah,
he got
bleeding.
He got a
bad.
Fucking mask quick.
He was bleeding really bad.
And then he stopped bleeding, and it looked cool. It was one of the coolest looking blade jobs, honestly.
And no, we were talking about this the whole time last night because we didn't watch it because we were playing it. We played a honky tonk show Saturday night. And we watched it last night, like the pay per view, and I was like, dude, they're like. How can you say this is fake? They're beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Like, they're, like, actually punching people.
Eddie and Punk beat the fuck out of each other. And Eddie is, I was telling Ricky, too, Eddie's, like, one of my favorites in AEW. I think he's probably my favorite wrestler in AEW right now.
Yeah.
So, the crowd was, like, totally cheering for him. And Punk was, like, looking at him. That goes back to what I was saying during the Cody match. It's like, the crowd's booing Cody for being a face. And then they were, like, they wanted so bad for Eddie to win. That they were, like, turning on Punk. That's what it was. They were, like, turning on Punk, and they were, like, cheering for Eddie.
Yeah, but there were some people cheering for Punk, so it wasn't exactly...
There
like
was.
Cody, I mean.
There was. We'll see if that continues. Hopefully not. Like, but if Eddie has that steam behind him, even though he took the loss, like, they're not... They're going to keep using Eddie because they know his money, dude. People like when that guy's on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, Eddie's going to turn heel at this point. It's obvious now. He didn't accept the handshake after the match, so he's turning heel.
Right.
Well, CM tried to give him the handshake, and then he refused, and he got out of the ring.
That was cool how the handshake thing worked, too, because Punk, like, was trying to show him, like, when he was on the ground, Punk, like, reached.
It was like respect.
It was like, well, it was like he wanted to help him up, and then Eddie, like, didn't see it, or, like, he turned around, and it took forever. So when Eddie finally got up and saw that he had his hand out, Eddie was like, fuck you, and, like, turned around and got out of the ring. But Punk had his hand out for, like, 10 seconds or something like that. Is that out?
Are we talking about Punk versus Kingston now?
Yeah.
I apologize to that guy. Oh, yeah. I'm alive and
Welcome
well,
back.
Goddamn it. I'm
oh
alive
God.
And well.
Oh, my God. It's been, like, forever.
We had a little issue. Yeah, we have some major. What's that?
I said, what's Albert the Inspector doing in the Impact Zone?
Yeah, I'm in the Impact. Oh, yeah, Albert the Inspector. or Bert the inspector.
Yeah, you'd have to change your name. Yeah.
But hey, you know, yeah. Sorry about having technical difficulties. We also had some other personal issues just happened right now, and so we had like Teresa's sister got into a minor car accident. So everybody send positive vibes to Teresa's sister. So that's kind of what's been going on in the last hour or so. But everything's fine. Everything's great, and so we're having a good time. But I did have an interesting take on the Kingston versus Punk feud because we're in it, and I was actually very excited to talk about this tonight. And I got back on the call at the perfect time because we were on the subject. And so I don't know if you guys like discussed this or not, but you know, in my honest opinion, this whole feud is probably one of the most genius feuds in wrestling history. And there's a lot of, you know, when you think about it, I like to think of it like this, and this is just a theory, and the theory is that the heel face roles are actually reversed on this one, and that Punk is actually working the heel, and Kingston's working face, and they are actually fucking with the crowd tremendously. Because if you look at these promos, if you look at Punk's promos, if you look at Kingston's promos up leading up to this match is very much face, and Punk's promos are actually very much heel, but they're playing it so well that the audience can't tell the fucking difference right now. And this is the genius of these two guys right now. So just a few examples, you know what I mean? Kingston going in there and saying, hey, you know what? You know, I have the balls to say that nobody back there likes you, that nobody wants you here, blah, 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 all this stuff. And Punk, you know, quips back with, you know, the whole elevation and dark thing. I mean, like, that's just a slap in the face to the lower card wrestlers, you know what I mean? It's just one of the many, many examples of this feud. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Do you guys think my theory is kind of out there, or do you think it's working?
No,
I think that
they're both
tweeners. They're like two tweeners, and they both are like teetering on the line just enough to where they're neither of them. Like Punk is super face, but everybody knows that these guys are two guys that are willing to. It was a grudge match and a blood feud. That's what I told Ricky as soon as the thing started. I was like, this match is going to be different because this is like a grudge match. And it was. They beat the fucking dog shit out of each other. So I think that's what it was. I think just because of that element of it, it gave them the power to, like, do more with it. You know what I mean?
I think Eddie Kingston is better as a heel, you know? He's too much of a thug to be a face, you know, in this situation. He's a thug. That's his character. He's a thug.
He's not really. I mean, he could come off as a thug to some people. You know what I mean? But to me, he's just
no,
like one
of
those characters.
No, that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
To me, he's more of a realistic type character. And yeah, like kind of like a thuggish, but more along the lines of like I don't know if you guys are familiar with like Safdie Brothers films. You know, Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. Have you guys seen that one? Or Good Time
trash.
With what's that?
Ricky didn't like it.
I hated that movie. I thought the movie was trash.
Okay, but that one or another Safdie's brother movie, what's it called? Good Time with Robert Pattinson and Benny Safdie. You guys see that one too?
No.
I don't see it.
No, but those were all directed by the same brothers, you know, and it has that same element as like Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. But Eddie Kingston reminds you of like a character from like one of those fucking movies, you know, just like some piece of shit who like works in a jewelry store.
I can see that.
Maybe he breaks the kneecaps, you know what I mean? Like, and that's what he's real, you know.
I also said that before the match too. When the match started, I was telling Ricky, I was like, Eddie's more of like an actor. Like Eddie's an awesome wrestler, but Eddie's like the best actor that they have.
Don't call him an actor. He hates that. There was a promo in Independence where he fucking says, you know, these wrestlers are actors, and that means you're all fake motherfuckers. So don't tell him he's an actor. He'll punch your lights out.
That's pretty badass, too. He's so badass. But no, he's just, yeah, he's cool.
I think that AEW needs to give him the ball. And I think they're working up to that. I think they're giving him more TV time, bigger hype, higher profile feuds. he could be their guy, dude. Because if you look at, like, his character, like, he connects, like, with a lot of people. Like, a lot of, like, those, like...
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Stone Cold Steve Austin because he's fucking throwing the fucking birds up in everybody's face. He's fucking...
He's like, double rod. That's all
double
rod.
Yeah, that's what Ricky
kept
saying.
Double rod.
Flipping them off right in their fucking face.
Yeah.
And a few people are doing that. They're doing that more. And during that match, Punk even said, he said, it's time to go to school, motherfuckers. He got up after he bladed and he had blood all over his face. He said, time to go to school now, motherfuckers. And I was like, oh, shit. And then, no, Eddie definitely gives me Steve Austin vibes. And if there was ever a time for another Steve Austin-esque kind of character, give it to that guy.
We talked about this before. I think AEW has all the juice. Like, they have all the juice within the characters. They're wrestling harder than anybody on WWE. All of them, all the women, like everything. They're just wrestling harder. It's like, well, me and Kevin were talking about last night, and I was like, dude, this is like AEW is like wrestling for us. It's like wrestling for our, like, for
30-something.
Yeah, for 30-something. Basically, like, kids that grew up,
it's the fact that they're doing what WWF was doing in 97-98. You say they're wrestling harder. If you look at they're wrestling harder because of the competition. If you look at, like, matches from, like, 97, like those Shotgun Saturday Night matches, even, like, you know, Triple H, The Rock, all those guys, even, like, the undercard guys on WWF television at the time, dude, they're fucking working hard, bro. They're, like, they're hitting ropes. They're fucking taking bumps. They're taking hard bumps. They're doing those fucking, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, fucking 30 kicks in the fucking corner of the fucking ring post, you know what I mean? Like, that type of shit. Compared to WCW, which had slower paced. Of course, I'm not talking about the cruiserweights. We're not discussing that right now. I'm talking about, like, the Hogans and the Flairs and the Lugers and the Macho Mans at the time who were wrestling the old school style. I mean, yeah, they're still fucking shit up in the ring, but you can tell the difference in the product when you watch the other show. And that's what AEW is doing now. They're doing that murder.
To me, personally, it looks like they're having more fun. They just look like they're having fun. They're just doing their craft.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they, like, they worked their whole lives to build this craft, and they're having fun doing it. And that's what AEW looks like to me, as opposed to WWE. It seems like more of a...
Like, they're constricted. Like, they're
WWE
not, like,
is like more of a goddamn...
They're like, don't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
But AEW is like, it's like, it just looks like they're having fun. It's fun to watch. It just really is.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's very similar to WCW. It's very similar to that. You know, like, WCW didn't have a, you can't do that. It was more or less the guy saying, like, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to have fucking Savage or Luger bumping like 30 times in a fucking match because they're not going to do it. You know what I mean? And going back to the whole Kingston Stone Cold Steve Austin comparison, yeah, dude, the dude's like a fucking... If Stone Cold Steve Austin was from like New York City or something, he would be that. He's like a New York inner city version of Steve Austin.
Yeah.
All right. Now we go on to the semi-main event of this show. The Inner Circle versus America's Top Team. My God, this was a fun, crazy mess match, but in a fucking great way. This match was fucking great. The MMA guys were fucking great. They know how to wrestle. Dan Lambert was the best shit, best character. Good fucking flying spots, good weapon shots. That spot where Sami Zayn jumped from the ladder and threw a table, that was fucking great. That crazy spot where I think either Santana or Ortiz jumped over the barricade and hit a fan. I hope they don't get a fucking lawsuit for that. I hope that guy is okay. That was obviously not fucking planned. That poor bastard. Well, he should have known when he was getting into. He bought a ticket. He should have expected it, you know? Poor bastard. And, yeah, Inner Circle won in a fucking great match. Guys, what are your thoughts on it?
Man, it was cool. I mean, Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara is like, there's just so many people on the roster that like have these like, and last night they had all these shining moments. He wasn't the only one. Scorpio Sky stood out in this match to me. Ethan Page honestly had a couple of spots where he stood out a lot too, but like Scorpio, they put like Scorpio, I think, is the best guy on American Top Team. And then they put him in the match first and he got his ass whooped for like a long time. So that was a really cool aspect in the match. There was these spots that, Santana and I'm sorry, what's his, the other guy's name? I can't think of what the other guy's name is. Santana and, I don't know. Are you there, Christian?
It's not Ortiz, is it?
No,
Ortiz,
just like,
yeah. Santana and Ortiz, yeah. I couldn't think of what the other guy's name was.
I
started brain fart.
Yeah.
But there was like,
I don't want to be wrong, but it was
early in the match. The spot super early in the match where they like did this whole back and forth spot, like where they just hit the ropes a bunch and like did this body slam spot kind of thing. And like, that was really cool. There was a bunch of cool spots, but Sammy shined in the match big time. Sammy did like a huge jump, like at the end of the match, I remember. And he jumped off the fucking ladder at the end too. And that dive through the ladder was like perfect. Sammy Guevara has been at local wrestling and he's done, you know, badass wrestling like that there. He's been in Houston. He's from here. So, I mean, it's like maybe I'm just biased towards Sammy because I've seen him a bunch. But it is fucking awesome to see guys like him or Eric in WWE, like that I was watching down here in these, you know, what they call bingo halls, but putting on badass matches. Like, it's cool. Sammy fucking kicked ass. And I think he's going to be the best thing out of that team. But American Top Team is sick, too, and Dan Lambert's fucking the best promo that AEW has on the payroll. And they better keep Dan Lambert on TV. And that's my main takeaway, I guess.
Yeah, but what about, again, that poor guy in the front row and that spot. Hopefully he does not fucking
sue. Oh, yeah,
he
was a coward when he got hit by the, when he flipped over the chairs.
No, when the man literally dived in the fucking barricade through the fucking fans, and he landed on the fucking guy.
Yeah, I see the guy, like, just for a split second, it shows him, like, and then it cuts back to Dan Lambert, like, dancing in the ring. And then, but, yeah, like, shows the guy, like, ah, like, fucking, like, freaked out. Yeah, that sucks.
I just hope they don't sue.
I don't think they're gonna. I don't think the guy's gonna sue. If I was a real wrestling fan, I wouldn't sue, but I would ask for some free tickets, of course. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've known situations where people got hurt at wrestling shows, and they definitely took care of it and made it right and shit. So, but yeah, I mean, if something like that ever happens to you in a show, you got to make it known as soon as possible. You got to let somebody know that you got hurt or whatever, because they got fucking insurance for that kind of shit.
I think it's more like when you sign off, like the terms and agreements. You know what I mean? Like when you buy your ticket online, there's got to be something in there.
Yeah, like in terms and agreements.
You bought the ticket.
Oh. Yeah, I mean anything could happen in a wrestling show. You know what I mean? Like anything, I mean, especially if you're in the front row, like anything could happen. You know what I mean? I had Shark Boy follow me one time. You know what I mean? At a house show in Corpus Christi, like Shark Boy flipped over. I forgot. Oh, it was him and Sanjay Dutt were wrestling, and Sanjay threw Shark Boy over the guardrail. Me and my brother right in the front row of the TNA house show, and fucking Shark Boy like landed on our laps, man. It like rolled off. We were like freaking out. We thought it was the coolest shit ever.
That's funny. Excuse me. One time at an NWA show down here, there was NWA Cypress and outside of Houston, and it was the guy, the guy's been canceled. He's not a great guy, but the wrestler's name was Big Daddy Yum Yum, and he had a shake weight, and he would always beat people's ass with this shake weight, and the shake weight, like, flew out in the crowd, and I caught it. Like, he hit somebody with it, and it bounced out in the crowd, and I caught it, and then they, like, came out, like, after the show, and they, like, made me give the shake weight back. I just held it. I didn't, like, try to give it back to anybody. And I held it for the whole show, and then they were like, "Hey, we need that back."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those things are 1999. What the hell?
Yeah, crazy stuff can happen. Shake weights.
What?
Cool fly.
My mother just confirmed to me that they did sign a waiver at the pay-per-view. So there you go. So that's So there you go. Up next was the main event. 3 years of storytelling in the making here. 3 years in this story. Adam Page versus Kenny Omega. Two former friends. Two of the world tag team champions. They broke up, went to separate ways. Adam Page was banished from the Elite. Kenny Omega went to the dark side. With the help of Don Callis, won the world title.
Yeah, Don Callis.
Kept the world title. Yeah.
The jackal.
Yep. The struggle. A lot of boos. A lot of friendships lost. A lot of friendships gained. But it was at this moment right now. The moment was set. Time was now. The crowd was hot. Kenny Omega and Adam Page had a great match. But then came the ending. 3 years of storytelling came to a conclusion. The Young Bucks came out after being brutally beaten in a six-man tag. People were scared that they might help Kenny Omega retain. But in a shocking turn of events, they didn't. They nod the approval of Adam Page to dethrone Kenny Omega and your new world champion, Adam Page. Now, despite this celebration, that raises question marks coming this Wednesday. What is going to happen with the Super Elite? Namely, regarding the Young Bucks and Adam Cole. Remember, Adam Cole just joined. The Young Bucks are turning babyface now. So that means they might leave the Elite. So where does Adam Cole stay into this? Well, because we all know that Kenny Omega is going to take time off. He's going to be out for a while, which means will Adam Cole be the new leader of the Elite and banish the Young Bucks? And there's another question. Who will help the Young Bucks fight Adam Cole if he does become the leader and kick them out? Because we all know that Bobby Fish most likely will join Adam Cole in the new Elite / Undisputed Era. Maybe, just maybe, the Young Bucks might need a friend's help. No, I'm not talking about Adam Page. I'm not talking about Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even talking about the Good Brothers. Maybe they need a certain Steen help.
Maybe a certain Canadian.
Yes. From Mount Rushmore. Think about
that.
That
would be badass. Yeah, that would be cool. I see them approaching Paige and Paige denying them. Paige being like, no, guys, like, no. Nah. And then I see Adam Cole taking that to offense and then, like, being like, no, fuck this guy, and Adam Cole, like, going for him. And so the Young Bucks, like, maybe, like, go all in, so to speak, with Adam Cole against Hangman Page at that point. I don't know. I do see there being two elites, though. I think that it's going to split like how Bullet Club did or NWO did, and I think there's going to be two elites at some point. I just don't know if now's the time.
Or...
But Hangman Page is cool with Dark Order, and is that going to continue where he's, like, teaming with Dark Order? Are we going to see more from them? I don't know.
Let me paint you a more interesting picture. Or we might have a three-way turf war, all right? Maybe you could have your Elite, and maybe you could have your Mount Rushmore, but sooner or later, you're going to have yourselves an Undisputed Era, because another person might be coming to AEW, and his name is Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah. Two KOs for the price of one?
Our Undisputed Era versus the Elite versus Mount Rushmore in a three-way turf war.
or as Shane McMahon puts it, Mount Mushmore.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We're talking about, you know, the whole Hangman Page thing, about how it's a 3-year ordeal, all this shit, too. I really don't think that AEW Creative was that fucking smart to do that. I think they're just rectifying the wrongs that Hangman Page should have won the title earlier. But people bring it up, oh, it's a 3-year storyline, it's a 3-year story arc. I mean, it really wasn't, because fucking Adam Page was doing a bunch of shit, you know, in between the years. He was just kind of floating around the mid-card, you know, for a while. So, yeah, I mean, you could consider it a 3-year story arc, but I really don't think anybody in pro wrestling thinks that far ahead. I think they knew they were going to put the belt on Hangman Page eventually. But go ahead, Kevin.
I say I disagree. I think that this storyline was crafted by Kenny and the Bucks. I think that, and maybe I sound like a big mark by saying that, but I think that they, and Tony Khan, you know, take what he says with a grain of salt, but he said that he knew who his first four champions were going to be. He knew, like, what the course of the first couple of years was going to be as far as booking, if he could help it. And that they've been able to do what they plan to do is what he said. So
right. I mean, yeah, could be. Maybe I'm just like, you know, so fucking jaded by WWE with their fucking lack of storytelling. You know what I mean? But like, you know, I think that, you know, Adam Page should have been one of the first world champions. I think he was like, when they were doing that tournament and the Jericho run one, you know what I mean? I think he should have been the first world champion, but I see why they picked Jericho, because they wanted an established name, you know, to bring it, to bring AEW, you know, alive. So, yeah, I mean, good on them. But, yeah, as far as The Fiend joining up with all this shit, man, I think they need to just give Bray Wyatt some time before he comes in. And I think they are, actually, because, you know, he didn't debut, you know, in full gear. And I think they need to give it to at least 2022, the beginning of 2022, because it's not that far away. And then kind of work it in. My ideal thing to debut Bray Wyatt in AEW, and I think I talked about this a while back, was just have him fucking cut his hair and shave and just, like, show up in trunks, you know, and be like a Husky Harris type character and, like, show up on an elevator.
No more of the paranormal shit. No more of this paranormal shit. It's not.
But work into that. Like, you work into it. Like, you show up and it's like, hey, aren't you? It's like, no. But I'm so-and-so, and he's got, like, a new, like, cheesy-ass name, and then, like, he just, like, wrinkles, like, some matches. You know what I mean? It's just, like, what? Like, and he totally ignores the whole Bray Wyatt thing.
Like,
meanwhile,
demon, there's,
just,
like, a demon over his shoulder. Like, there's something, like, whispering in his ear the whole time, kind of, like, reminding him.
Yeah. Like, he's just trying to, he broke free from the demon, and he's trying to just, like, you know, get back into his career. You know, it's Wyndham Rotunda, and he's just, like, happy-go-lucky fucking trunks-wearing motherfucker. Going out there, like, smiling and laughing. And then, meanwhile, there's, like, supernatural shit, like, lightly going on, you know? Like, that's how I would book him.
Like a Scooby-Doo type character?
No, just have him be a Hollywood. Just have him be a Hollywood superstar, like he's doing in real life right now, that he's making Hollywood movies. Have him be a Hollywood superstar director. Have him list all the movies that he makes, and then later down the line, he could reenact those movies. And his matches.
So Bray's movie.
Yeah.
Bray's movie. He's gonna be the killer. He's gonna be like the monster.
Yes, and then have him reenact those characters in the matches.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I think they need to do something completely different with Bray Wyatt. You know what I mean? At first, at least. Like, you know, like he kind of like distanced himself from WWE, but at the same time, like, this guy's such a versatile fucking wrestler and versatile character. That if they bring him in, they're probably trying to figure that out right now. That's probably why he hasn't debuted. They're trying to figure out what the fuck he's going to do and how, or, you know, what kind of character he's going to go with. But I think he should be completely 360, like a fucking, just to show how versatile Wyndham Rotunda is, you know?
All right. Now we go with, this pay-per-view, let's not beat around the bush. This was a great pay-per-view. This was fucking great. A+. I'm giving the rating 10 out of 10, this pay-per-view. 10 out of 10.
I've got to go with a 10 out of 10, too. Yeah, I have to give it a 10 out of 10.
All right, Albert.
Scene in a long edge of your seat action.
I'm not going to rate it right now, mainly because I haven't seen the whole thing, just clips and certain matches. So I'll give you my rating next week. But yeah, I'm from here, it's pretty fucking excellent.
Here's how picky I can be. Like, if I had any complaint about the show, it's that, like I said, there was no time to like slow down. There was no like, and I'm just conditioned to like maybe how other companies do it or whatever. There was no time to like, so every match was just fucking going, and you didn't want to miss what was happening, kind of thing. So I was like, okay, this is fucking sick. But it was like exhausting. It was like 4 hours, right? It was from the start. It was 4 hours.
No, it was more than that. It was 5 hours.
It was a lot of badass wrestling in a row.
Yeah. All right, now we get to when we went to good stuff. Now we get to the fucking dog shit stuff, ladies and gentlemen.
Boo.
Time to do the WWE report. Oh boy, we start with last week's SmackDown. Here we go. First off, we've had a fucking opener of the women's team for Survivor Series with Shotzi Blackheart, who recently turned heel for no reason, Natalya, Aaliyah, some other woman I don't remember. Shayna Baszler. And then the captain, Sasha Banks, when she gets introduced, she goes immediately after Shotzi. And then Naomi comes out of nowhere. She starts a fight. And it literally goes to a six-woman tag. Okay. So they all participate. The face team wins. But then here's the stupidity. The stupidity fucking begins already. Fucking Aaliyah gets taken out of the fucking Survivor Series team match. For no reason whatsoever, she gets taken out. Can you fucking believe that? They literally announced her online, and she gets taken out of the fucking match they advertised on Twitter. Any thoughts on the stupidity of this?
This was like a travesty to me. Because this like sucks for these people. Like, one of the things that got me back into watching this shit was the fact that they had NXT and they had these new wrestlers that you could see their journey coming up to the big show and stuff. And so you get these characters like Aaliyah or Karrion Kross or whoever, and their booking like leads them down this, like, it just leads them right down the toilet, dude. And I'm not saying it's the end for her yet. Like, she's still got a lot of potential and is going to do it. But, like, it's weird how they did that. And I don't know if that was – it doesn't seem like it was the plan from the beginning. I don't think it was the plan to book her for it and then take it away from her. And then they fired the other girl. You know, Aaliyah's the girl who's, like, booked as the youngest WWE wrestler now. But there was, like, another girl who was, like, younger than her that got fired during the mass firings and stuff. So it just – the whole thing makes me think of all these people that got fired and the way that the people that didn't get fired are going to get ruined. But it's not the end of the world. It's not that bad. She still made her debut and everything, and it's good character development for her to not be in the match. Be like, well, why? Why not me? So then she has to prove herself.
That's probably the last time she's going to be on TV, probably.
I hope not. I mean, it sucks because it's these people's dream. That's what I mean. Like, it's like they want to be wrestlers. Like, the chick seems like she wants to wrestle. So I'd rather have her on TV wrestling than have her on TV saying, how come I'm not going to wrestle?
Well, Albert, what are your thoughts about this stupidity?
I'm going to have to refresh myself on that. I'm going to have to go back and watch it.
It's a really new story. It's, like, only been, like, out for a week or 2 weeks now that you've even known about the chick. So, but she was in NXT, and I don't watch enough NXT. I'm gonna try to make a New Year's resolution to watch NXT 2.0.
Yeah. Here's the thing, dude. Like, I'm trying to keep up with everything, and I watch replays on everything. I haven't sat down and watched a show in, like, months for anything, AEW or WWE. I mean, at least weeks, maybe. So I go back and watch replays, read the dirt sheets. Not the dirt sheets, but I read the results, not the dirt sheets. So that's kind of where I'm at now. You know what I mean? Like, I can give my opinion as far as, like, being a lifelong wrestling fan on certain things, but I really need to. I'm with you, Kevin, man. I've been working.
They brought
for fucking
Merle
months.
Up to the roster. Yeah. Basically, the quick of what happened is that they brought her up to the roster, and then they said, "Well, you're going to be on the Survivor Series match too." And then they came back, and Sonya Deville, who always does this now, that's her character, is to be like, "You get this? No, you don't. Here, fuck you." She did that to this girl, and she's like, "Hey, actually, you're not in the match." And the girl was like, "Well, why the fuck not?" And then she just walked away.
Yeah.
And people are speculating that they just are switching the matches up still. They shouldn't have announced who the team was if they didn't fucking know who the team was.
Yeah.
And they're just blaming Sonya Deville for everything?
I am, kind of. I'm blaming her. But, no, Sonya Deville's doing a good job on TV.
Yeah. Oh, no, but WWE's just, like, blaming her. Like, they're just like, go out there.
She's the patsy, the fall guy, for sure.
Yeah.
The terrible. The stupidity continues when Sami Zayn went to the backstage area, complains about Jeff Hardy, and then Adam Pearce with fucking Von Wagner, who's also an NXT guy who's done fuck all. He's a terrible wrestler. And now they book a match where Sami Zayn and Jeff Hardy will fight each other, and whoever loses is out of the fucking team of Survivor Series. Jeff Hardy wins. Sami Zayn is fucking out. Again, this is exactly like Aaliyah. Why the fuck would you announce these people if you're just going to fucking take them out? What the fuck? And chances are Von Wagner and his useless ass is going to be replacing Sami Zayn, because he was there in that segment. Chances are he's going to be Sami Zayn's fucking replacement. So, woo, what a good Survivor Series team matches we're having. Woo!
What the hell is Von Wagner?
I think it's always been the worst pay-per-view. Survivor Series and Fastlane are like the most infamously bad pay-per-views of all. And there's more Survivor Series than there are Fastlane.
Survivor Series should be up there with fucking Royal Rumble, dude. Like it
that's
should
how
be
they present
fucking,
it.
Like,
that's how they present it. It's one of the big four, right? It's supposed to be one of the big four. But no, we all know it's going to be a shit show every year. The last cool one I can think of is whenever it was the Wyatts versus the Shield. And that's like probably the last one I really enjoyed.
That was actually Elimination Chamber. That wasn't Survivor Series.
Oh, goddammit.
They really need to build it like how, like, it's just like, these are superstars you haven't seen wrestle before and probably never will again, you know, because we're going to fire them or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like...
Hey, I just got a great idea, dude. I just got a great idea of, like, a crossover of, like, Squid Game and WWE, where, like, they have their matches, and then, yeah, it's just every match is for your career.
Yeah. That's what they should do. They should just be booking them. Like, all these guys that are released, they just have them all lose. Like, on, like, every show that they have, come out, have them go out, do a fucking match, lose the fucking match. And then it's like, oh, sorry, you lost the match. You got to go. It's like one of those situations.
Yeah.
Really,
or they could do the nice thing. They could book a whole show with all the people that they're going to fire and let them all wrestle the card. And then at the end of the night, Vince just comes out and tells them all, "You're fired." It fires them all at once. Yeah. And they all get.
I mean, yeah, exactly. At least, like, make it interesting as opposed to having a fucking letter released on the fucking internet. You know, people like this mostly. You know, do it in professional wrestling. It's a show, right? You know, it's like Loser Leaves Town, only for like fucking 30 people at a time. You know, like
it makes sense. They would fire a lot of people from a business aspect. For the last few years, when the economy was good, they spent all this money buying up all the talent and building this performance center stuff. And now that the quote unquote supposedly whatever the economy is doing right now is happening, they're cutting loose ends, and as Cody Rhodes would say, cutting the fat, and
trimming the fat.
Yeah, it makes sense from a business aspect what they're doing, but it does suck for the people that they probably put a lot of hopes in.
Yeah. So up next.
But it's business.
Oh boy.
I just had a quick point real quick before we move on, but Think of all these the wrestlers that have been signed by AEW and WWE. I mean, like, it's in the fucking hundreds. I mean, you have at least, like, 200 to 300 people that could be on TV at any given fucking moment. At no point in wrestling history has it ever been that large. So the majority of these people, like, say, for instance, this is, like, the 80s and 90s, you know, where like, in the 80s, like, the fucking roster was, like, 30 people. You know what I mean? Like, the majority of these people who are working now wouldn't be featured on TV back then. Or they wouldn't be – they would be, like, wrestling independents or wrestling in different territories, you know, like undercards. So it's, like, you know, this is only going to make the independents and the territories stronger again, you know, with these stars they're releasing.
And
I
would say –
I digress.
I would think with a wrestling TV show, with a weekly TV show – so you don't want your roster to be that bloated because you want the same people to be on TV every week. That you want draws, that like reasons for people to tune back in. I want to see him on TV next week. I want to see her on TV next week. So if you have so many people and then you don't get to see your guy on TV, and then you're like, why aren't they using this person? That's the problem, you know. So if they had a smaller, more focused thing, then that wouldn't be a problem.
I agree. And I don't think we should have signed half of these fucking people to begin with. I'm not saying they're bad wrestlers. I'm not saying they're entertaining. I'm saying they shouldn't have hired so many fucking people.
Yeah. All right. Now we go to the stupid main event of SmackDown. I'm sick of this fucking bullshit at this point. Roman Reigns versus Xavier Woods. You know,
so
same old, same old. Same old shit. What?
It was a good match. Xavier did a great job. It was a good match, but it was corny as fuck.
I know. It was a good match for Xavier's part. Roman fucking sucks. I am sorry. This guy fucking sucks. His wrestling fucking sucks. It's fucking basic wrestling. Punches, kicks. Sometimes he does the guillotine chokehold, but other than that, he fucking sucks. I'm sorry. This tribal chief bullshit is stale. It's boring. It's going. It ran its fucking course. The fact that he's still champion at this point is a mockery. So, Xavier Woods, and guess what? This is his first loss after a year, after a whole year. His first fucking loss is by a fucking DQ. Great. Great work. Guess what? Again, he looks fucking weak as fuck. How can he call himself the tribal chief when he gets constantly getting fucking helped? Doesn't a tribal chief mean that you're strong and that you don't need fucking help from anybody and that you could take care of business by yourself? But no. No, he's the opposite of fucking that. Because every fucking match he's in, he has to get help constantly. Every match is a fuck finish for him. Fucking Royal Rumble, he gets help by Paul Heyman. Fucking WrestleMania, Jey Uso helps him retain in a triple threat match. Fucking, what else? Fucking Finn Balor, they had to use God as an excuse that helped Roman Reigns because the apron broke. They used God as an excuse. Paul Heyman again at Crown Jewel, throwing the title in the ring, and then the Usos helping them beat Brock Lesnar. And then last Friday, again, the Usos helping him, beating him up, and now he takes – now he's the king of the ring now. Now he's King Roman Reigns now with this crown bullshit. I'm getting fucking sick of this bullshit now. This is bullshit. This may be worse – no, this is definitely worse than Triple H's Reign of Terror. I'm sorry. This is fucking worse because – it is. It's worse. Like, nobody looks over after he beats these people. Kevin Owens is a heel for no reason. He's a schmuck. Cesaro's fucking losing to Carrillo and Garza.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Jay are nothing but fucking goons. They're goons and schmucks. They're the worst SmackDown tag champions ever. Like, every person that this fucker has beaten, Daniel Bryan lost so bad he went to a different company. Like, every person that this fucker has beaten looks fucking terrible. Drew McIntyre lost, and now he's just doing open challenges to people. He's no longer the champion. Like, what the fuck? He's made everybody look terrible. buried. Hold on. He just literally buried the newly crowned king of the fucking ring and stole his fucking crown. What the fuck is this bullshit?
They're getting him nuclear heat, and that's what it is. Like, we were talking about this, you know, a long time ago too, before Roman Reigns started getting on this like tribal chief shit. Was they needed somebody to take over Lesnar's fucking, like, I get, I use the term very loosely, badassery, that beating everybody, just fucking letting the fucking waste to everybody. Roman Reigns is going to be that guy. And in 10 years, Roman Reigns is going to be a part-timer doing the same shit that Brock Lesnar is doing now. So they're setting up for that, dude. They're and also at the same time, what they're doing is they're giving him so much fucking heat right now, especially with the Xavier Woods thing with the crown, him beating everybody, all this shit, that when their new hero comes around, because Roman's going to be the villain, when the new hero comes around and finally beats Roman, that motherfucker would be the most over motherfucker on planet Earth.
But what guy? He's being
handled by
nobody.
The Rock.
Is legit.
No.
I think if The Rock comes back to face Roman, The Rock should lose.
Roman beats him.
Like, that's the only way you can book it.
Yeah.
And then what else?
I feel
that's a waste
of WrestleMania. I feel like that's a wasted WrestleMania match. But, yeah, but no, I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, it's good for Roman, but it's like, why even see that? Like, if we know that Roman is going to beat The Rock, then why do we even want to see that match?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you don't really know, because it's actually one of the – it would be one of his more believable matches over the past, like, 2 years. You know what I mean? You go into all these matches like, oh, fucking Finn Balor's not going to beat Roman. Oh, Xavier Woods, Austin Creed's not going to beat fucking Roman. Any fucking opponent that Roman Reigns has had over the last year – you automatically knew that Roman was going to win. Now, at least with The Rock, it makes it a little bit more compelling because it's like, oh, shit, Roman could actually lose this one. You know what I mean? So I don't agree with that. I think if they put him with The Rock for WrestleMania, I think it's a good idea. But I think that Roman should go over as much as I fucking hate to say it. It makes more sense.
Right. Where's Brock at? Just real quick, last thoughts on this, the whole thing. But, like, where's Brock at now? Brock's just gone, not worried about it anymore?
He's suspended. He's going to come back in January. And then they're going to fight again. And then they're probably going to fight again at WrestleMania. Because Rock ain't coming to WrestleMania again next year.
Gotcha.
So that means we have to wait another fucking year to see The Rock versus Roman in a WrestleMania. Are you fucking kidding me? This guy's going to hold this title for 2 more fucking years? Maybe even more?
Nah.
Are you
kidding? There's no way in hell.
It's starting to look like it.
Maybe they would do it. Maybe, I mean, and that's kind of cool. Like, what if we would look back on it if they gave Roman the belt for, like, 5 years? I'm just saying. If Roman Reigns had, like, a 5-year reign, then, like, in 10 years... we would look back on it and be like, that was pretty cool that they let Roman hold the belt for fucking, whatever, 5,000 days or whatever. Like, that's probably not accurate enough, but I'm just saying, like, they beat, like, the old record or something.
Nobody's going to fucking stick around seeing this guy hold this belt for 5 fucking years.
I know, yeah. Maybe they could do it because they have 2 belts, so maybe they could get away with it.
Fuck me. The guy barely moves the fucking ratings up. The ratings on SmackDown is still 2.1. This guy's not moving no fucking needle.
If Roman Reigns is the champion and hasn't lost his belt in 5 years, I'll fucking eat my hat, dude. I'll eat an actual hat.
This is bullshit at this point. But not as bullshit as we're going to fucking Raw. The go-home show of Survivor Series last night. This Survivor Series has got to be the worst Survivor Series build of all time. Last year's was never this fucking bad. Sure, it was lazy, but fuck me, this was never this fucking bad. We start the fucking show with Big E calling out Kevin Owens. And by the way, I'm not fucking turning on Kevin, all right? He's the good guy in this situation. Big E's the fucking dickhead, okay? He's the one who fucking provoked He's the one who provoked Kevin Owens. Didn't trust him, kept calling him a jerk. the Raw roster called him a jerk, so no, I'm not going to fucking boo Kevin Owens. Because he's fucking right. He's fucking right. Like, why bother fighting it? These people, the people think he's a fucking cheater and a turncoat. Why bother fighting it at this point? Fuck him. And guess what? This is fucking lazy because this is the same way that Rollins turned heel after Survivor Series. They're literally just doing the same story they did 2 years ago after Survivor Series when Rollins turned fucking heel and they booed him and that they didn't fucking trust him. This is literally the same fucking story. Lazy. Awful.
I did like Kevin's, so, I like Kevin's promo, like promo where he was telling the crowd it was, or he was telling Big E that it was his fault. And he's like, this
is
your
fault.
Now that this has happened, this is your fault. It's your fault. And he like repeated it over and I was like, hell yeah. He sounds so Canadian too right now. I feel like he sounds more Canadian than he used to. I don't know if they're like making him ham up the Canadian accent or something.
Yeah. So after this promo, the fucking Usos show up and beat down the champion. Big E has got to be the worst WWE champion we've had so far. Every fucking week he gets beaten down like a fucking schmuck. This is your world fucking champion. Last week he gets beaten down to a pulp, and now this week he's getting beaten down to a fucking pulp. He's the fucking world champion. He's terrible. He's worse than Kofi.
He doesn't seem threatening like other champion, like the last handful of guys have. Like, I know that he's going to win because he has – it's not like his aura doesn't give off, like, threatening vibes. It's more like just, you know, that to the power of positivity or something like that. Like, if I'm trying to give it a kayfabe reason, like, it's like you know that Big E's going to come through and win the match. Or he'll lose and, like, still – like, he's going to get booked in some other kind of match and not have to defend his shit. But
that's cool.
He hasn't even defended the belt yet, right? Has he defended it once?
He defended it on fucking Raw. And then he defended it at Crown Jewel against Drew McIntyre, which was pointless because we knew he wasn't going to lose because Drew was drafted to SmackDown.
Right.
Bullshit.
So, I don't know. He does not. So, like, I would compare him to the last champ, Lashley. And Lashley seemed, like, threatening. Like, Lashley had this fucking the Hurt Lock move and, like, shit like that. If you got in that shit, he'd fuck you up. And Lashley's just a huge guy. Well, Biggie's a huge guy, but he's not scared. Because he's not a fucking heel or something. Something about it's not working.
By the way, we're going
right.
Overtime.
It's the power of positivity. The power of positivity.
By the way, we're going overtime. So tune in. Still keep up with us. We're going overtime, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
so
cool,
anyway,
cool.
Let's continue. Go ahead, Albert. You were saying something?
You were saying, Albert, power of positivity is what's carrying him right now?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's what makes him... It's the fact that the New Day is they're such ridiculous faces. Oh God, Teresa's yelling at the dog. It's the power of positivity, and it's the fact that the New Day are such ridiculous faces that he. Hold on 1 second.
It's similar to Kofi Mania, like how Kofi was getting wins, like snaking out little wins here and there or something like that. Like, I don't think that's what Big E's getting is, like, snaking out wins, but because he's still dominant. He has the big finish, like the big ending.
The big ending, yeah.
It's not, like, a devastating finisher. Like, he has, I'd say his most devastating move is that outside of the apron dive that he does where he tackles him off of the apron. But shit, if a guy his size keeps doing that move, then he's gonna fucking retire early. I don't know. I think he needed a character change when he got the championship. We should have seen a character change in him. And if this is the only character change, is that like he doesn't listen to Kevin Owens? And he's like, no, I don't believe you. And it's just because of Kevin Owens' previous actions. Like he's judging him based off of his previous actions. So that's not right either, right? He's like, he's being too hard on Kevin.
Yeah, he's a dick. He's the dickhead in the story. He's the dick.
Yeah.
So
he doesn't know Kevin Owens anything, though. They've never been friends. Like, it's like he could just tell the guy to fuck off. That's I'm looking at it from, like, just a social aspect now. Like, if I was in that situation, I'd be like, oh, fuck off. I don't really know you. Leave me alone.
Yeah, just ignore him. So, the Usos attack Big E, and then Matt Riddle comes to make the save. And then it's a tag team match between the SmackDown Tag Champions and Matt Riddle and Big E. But then Fuckboy Rollins comes out, right? Now, I want you all to remember this right now, because this is where it gets fucking stupid. Rollins is the Raw team captain. All right? I want you to remember this.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out, does commentary, and then when the match begins, this tag match, after Big E pushes one of the Usos to Rollins, Rollins causes the DQ and helps the SmackDown champions the beatdown to his own brand. Then Randy Orton comes in, and it becomes a six-man tag. So right now, we have the team captain of Raw teaming up with the brand that he's facing against this Sunday in a six-man tag against his own fucking brand.
And the little two monkeys. I don't know, like, Rollins is a bad guy. He don't give a shit.
Yeah, but he's the team fucking captain of the brand.
Whose fault is that? His fault for being a fucking bad guy, like, that would be like, I want to be the team captain. Like, they gave it to him, those stupid asses. You know what I mean? Kayfabe. I'm speaking purely kayfabe right now, but, like, really, like, why did they make the fucking heel the team captain? That's what they get. That's going to be the downfall of Team Raw. That's why Team Fall sweeped last year. That's why they keep mentioning it, mentioning that Team Raw won last year. And it's going to be the SmackDown wins this year.
Awful. It's just awful. So, yeah, six-man team, Rollins and the Usos win. The champion, the Raw Tag Champion and the World Champion lost in the go-home show at the same night.
I will say this about Seth Rollins. It's like, I've got, like, battered wives syndrome with a lot of WWE wrestlers where I hate them and I keep wanting to come back. But, like, Rollins is one of the best things they've had in fucking years. Rollins has the potential. And even with this character, every once in a while I catch myself, like, popping for shit that he does. He's still really funny. So at any minute, Seth Rollins could do something where he's all of a sudden one of the best wrestlers in the world again. But right now he's just kind of fucking floating underneath that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fuck them. Anyway, so it's Bianca Belair versus Tamina. Bianca beats Tamina. And then Doudrop comes out. She's a heel now, which, okay, she's a fucking heel. She says she's going to go after Bianca after Survivor Series. What a great fucking feud, huh? What a great turnout for Bianca. She went from being the SmackDown Women's Champion to feuding with Becky Lynch to now fucking Doudrop of all people. What a great fucking turnout. What a great fallen from grace, huh? For Bianca. Great. Just fucking great.
Didn't she fight? She fought Tamina? Yeah, she fought Tamina and Doudrop. Yeah. That was crazy.
Awful. Unreal.
At least they're all getting TV time.
What?
So at least they're all getting TV time, I guess. At least they're getting time to try to do something, you know, grab that brass ring.
There is no brass ring. It's fake. Up next, we've had Becky Cringe cutting another boring fucking generic promo about hating Charlotte, blah, 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 you know, because they have real-life heat and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then the fans keep cheering her. So that this heel experiment is working out fucking great, isn't it? It's working fantastic, huh? So Liv Morgan comes out because she's the number one contender. They talk. Becky says she's not ready. She's a loser. You know, boring, generic heel shit. And then Liv Morgan counters the Rock Bottom. And then Becky Lynch runs away, and that's the end of the fucking segment. Who fucking cares? Becky Cringe is awful. She's worse. I'm sorry. She's terrible. She looks awful, too, by the way. She looks malnourished. I'm sorry. She looks terrible. And the fact that this heel shit is continuing and she's delivering these terrible fucking promos, it's astonishing. It's mind-blowing. Thoughts?
Let Albert go first on this one. Albert, you still there?
Albert?
I don't want to give too much of a biased opinion, but, yeah. I mean, I guess my biased opinion is that they're both – I mean, if I had to pick one, it's not even tied, but, yeah, Charlotte. She was attacking Charlotte. I don't like Becky anymore. That's really what I'm getting at. You're talking about Becky, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about Becky.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't want her – I think they should have waited and, like, given her more time. Now's not the time for Becky Lynch, and I don't know why they're just trying to start her back up at the same speed that she was when she was the man, and that was like a totally different thing, and it's not going to – nobody's falling for it, and something's different about her. She's not – she's just different than she was. She's not wrestling. We've talked about it for weeks. Nobody really – has a reason to get behind her right now. She's kind of like a – I mean, she's a heel. Like, we're not going to get behind her because she's a heel. I get that. But she's not doing that great a job for a heel either.
Well, unfortunately, Albert can't call back in because fucking Block Talk screwed him again. And now, you know, it's overtime, so he can't call back in. So, Albert, I'm sorry that fucking happened to you. I'll make sure Minister gets your notes for your predictions for Survivor Series. We're still going to have our predictions for Survivor Series. It's going to be me and Kevin, unfortunately. So
we'll do that.
The show must go on. Show must go on. So we have the Street Profits versus the Alpha Academy. Who fucking cares? It's the same old bullshit. Same match we've seen a million times. Then we see Nikki Ass versus Queen Zelina. This match fucking sucked, okay? Zelina Vega is a terrible wrestler. She's awful. And I can't believe Nikki Ass was our Raw Women's Champion. Can you believe that? Can you believe that?
I had both of these thoughts, like both the exact thoughts that you just said, I had those thoughts when I was watching the match. I was like Zelina's not that good, and I can't believe that Nikki was the champion.
Like,
so... Zelina was, like, having problems. Maybe it's just because of her size, but she was, like, having problems even, like, getting her foot over the rope, like, stuff like that. Like, they couldn't, like, get in and out of the ring well. And, like, when she hit, all of her strikes were really bad. Maybe not all of them. She's not horrible, but yeah. And then Nikki is throttled, like, if you wanted to put it that way. Like, if they let Nikki, if Nikki was in AEW or in a different promotion, was allowed to wrestle and actually wrestle, she would be awesome. But
yeah,
the way she works in WWE sucks. I don't like it.
Yeah. And then afterwards, it was Rhea Ripley versus Carmella, another team members fighting each other. Awful, you know. Carmella's fucking trash. Rhea Ripley's overhyped. She's overrated. And, yeah, another fucking terrible match. Not a good night for women's wrestling again. Women's
We're talking about Bianca Belair and how she was treated, like, as a champion and stuff. And then you got Rhea Ripley, who, you know, they had her booked kind of like how Drew McIntyre was, like this dominant champion, new champion. She came in and had her crappy feud with Charlotte and everything, like, and now, like Rhea Ripley's, like, barely hanging on to, like, what they gave her at the beginning. Like, if they don't do something with her to keep her relevant, then she's going to fall by the wayside, too.
Yep. And the fact that they're women's tag champions and there's no tag division, so what's the fucking point of them being champions? So, there's that. So,
it just
afterwards...
Hasn't gotten them over. It doesn't matter if they're champions. It matters if they're over with it. You know, if the fans actually give a shit that they're champions, and I feel like people don't, you know.
Yeah. So up next, we had probably the best match of the whole show. Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens. But again, it's team members fighting against team members. I don't know why the fuck they're doing this, you know. But yeah, Kevin Owens beats Finn Balor because Finn Balor is a fucking loser. I mean, what are hopes for Finn Balor anymore? Like, Finn Balor is a fucking loser at this point. Why would you even
maybe
give a fuck about him?
Maybe one day he'll be a trainer at the Performance Center.
Oh, fuck. Then we have more stupid. This was horrible. We have AJ Omos, which I don't know why the fuck they're still tag team. I you want to drag AJ Styles down with this fucking guy? I have no idea. But this match, this random match between AJ and Omos versus the Dirty Dogs, even though their team won last week, they feel AJ feels that the Dirty Dogs stole the win, even though they were in the same fucking team and they fucking won. So yeah, the match happens. Omos, again, with his slow, boring ass, destroys Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. AJ does fuck all in this match. He does nothing. And then when he finally gets tagged in, he hits one phenomenal forearm. That's it. The match is over. The crowd was fucking dead. This fucking partnership between AJ and Omos has been a fucking disaster. This is ruining AJ's credibility and his fucking status. This is a fucking mockery at this point, this partnership.
No, you're 100% right about that. It's super weird that this storyline has gone as long. When WWE cancels shit all the time, like, they'll just, like, change storylines at the drop of a hat. Why have they kept this one going so fucking long? And yeah, it's damaging to AJ, and it's not necessarily helping Omos a lot. I don't know. Like, I think that there's still potentially a future for that guy for sure. But yeah, it's going on way too long. It's gone on longer than Raw Underground. That's what I was thinking. I was like, that thing went longer than, like, Raw Underground or Retribution or any of that stuff.
Yeah. And then we have the main event, because Adam Pearce is a fucking heel now. We have two heel authority figures now again. I don't know fucking why. I don't know why it takes Brock Lesnar F5-ing Adam Pearce to turn him heel. I don't know why. But we have Bobby Lashley versus Rey Mysterio. I am not lying to you, everybody. I fell asleep to this match because I knew Rey was not going to fucking win. Are you kidding me? And Bobby destroys him. And guess what? They did it again. Another person that was advertised on Twitter, Mysterio, Rey Mysterio, gets fucking replaced by fucking Austin Theory of all people. Of all people, Austin fucking Theory. Another fucking
weird
change. Horrible.
They're weird choices, too. They don't make sense.
Austin Theory has done nothing except beating Jeff Hardy and the Mysterios. That's it. Horrible. Garbage. This is the worst fucking build Survivor Series ever. This is horrible. This is rancid. This is atrocious. The U.S. champion has... And guess what? Damian Priest, the U.S. champion who's supposed to face the IC champion Shinsuke, has not been on fucking TV the majority of this fucking build. Can you believe this shit?
Right.
He hasn't been on TV for fucking 3 weeks, and he's the U.S. champion, and he's supposed to face the IC champion. And guess what? Guess what? All the people that are in these matches have no fucking momentum at all going into this show. Big E has no momentum. Roman Reigns has no momentum because he lost by a DQ. Damian Priest has zero momentum because he hasn't been on fucking TV. Shinsuke has no momentum because he lost to Carrillo and fucking Garza. The tag champions have no momentum because RK-Bro lost last night, and the Usos keep losing every fucking week. These people have no fucking momentum at all. At all. They have none. horse shit.
I feel like it's been that way for a lot of time, though. For like 10 years, I feel like we haven't had a lot of heat behind Survivor Series matches. Like, it's hard for them to book Survivor Series the right way.
It wasn't fucking hard in 2017 or 16. It wasn't fucking hard. Man, what's it hard in 2018, 17, or 16? So what the fuck is it hard now? Why is it hard now?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, 19. They literally did the whole NXT invasion crap.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I need to go back and – I guess I'd have to go back and I'll probably do that before this weekend and look at, like, past Survivor Series again. I'm sure they'll have stuff on Peacock about that.
All right, now we have to do the predictions now. Okay, first match. All right, time for the prediction game. First match is Kevin Owens versus Big E. I'm gonna save us all the trouble. I'm putting both of us for Roman Reigns, all right?
Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
It's no KO
way,
versus,
Roman.
KO versus Roman?
What? No, Big E's not going to get over Roman. Nope. All right, the next match is the tag title people. RK-Bro versus the Usos. Who do you... I'm going to go with RK-Bro.
I think so. I think RK-Bro.
Because the Usos are fucking losers. Okay, and the next match is IC Champion versus the U.S. Champion. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to pick the U.S. Champion. I'm going to pick Priest. I have to.
Unfortunately.
Shinsuke is a fucking loser. I have to. And Priest is new, so...
I think you're right. I think you're probably right about that. I could see him doing that.
Okay.
So I'll put Priest, yeah.
All right. Next match. Women's Survivor Series team. Which Raw or SmackDown? I'm going to be fucking honest with you. I'm going to pick Raw. Because Liv Morgan is the number one contender. There's no way she's going to fucking lose a Survivor Series team match. There's no fucking way. That makes zero sense. The women's SmackDown team don't deserve to fucking win. So I'm going to pick Raw. What are you going to pick?
Kevin? I'm looking at the team lineups right now. Man, I don't know. I hate the SmackDown lineup. I mean, I guess Raw looks like the better lineup, but... SmackDown. Put me down for SmackDown, bro. They got Natalya.
Right.
Natalya comes through in times like this. Natalya's going to have some badass spots, and she might even get the winning pinfall. She might be the sole survivor.
I wouldn't. All right. Now it's time for the men. The men's team versus the Raw versus SmackDown. I'm going to pick SmackDown because Raw is a clusterfuck. Raw is a clusterfuck. SmackDown men.
I guess, I don't know. Seth Rollins is going to cost Team Raw the match. That's what I said earlier. So SmackDown's going to win.
All right. All right, let's see, what else is here on this show? Oh, okay, what else is left? Okay, the most controversial match is Becky Cringe versus Charlotte. Fuck, I want neither of these women to win. I hate them both. I'm gonna pick fucking Becky Cringe.
I wonder what's going to happen in this match.
I
think
they're going to
be on their best behavior?
No, they're not. I think they're going to do the Montreal screw job.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that, yeah. I could see something like that. I don't know.
Predictions.
If they do the Montreal screw job, you get a bonus point.
I don't think Charlotte's going to fucking win, to be honest. I'm picking Becky.
Yeah.
I pick Becky Lynch.
I think Charlotte's going to win. Put me down for Charlotte.
All right.
I'm going with my gut. Charlotte, like, believes more in herself than Becky does. Charlotte's, like, talking, like, Charlotte believes the bullshit she's saying.
All right. What else is in this show? Or is that fucking it?
I think that might be it.
Wow. What a good fucking card. Wow. Okay.
But I guess the Survivor Series matches will be long.
Nothing worthwhile. I'm going to say, for pre-show references, just in case, I'm going to say, are you okay? Oh, fuck, I heard a bang. Next door neighbor's recording. It's going to shit at me. All right, so for pre-show references, I think there's going to be a battle royal. I'm just going to put, you know, a prediction for a battle royal. Whoever wins gets an early lead, so... In that battle royal, who do you think is going to win? Kevin.
People aren't in any matches yet. Let me see. Otis, maybe? Or Gable?
It doesn't have to be specific who's going to win. I'm just saying which brand do you think is going to win the battle royal? Raw.
Oh, which brand? Raw.
For lead.
Yeah, Raw would win.
All right. You say Raw. I say SmackDown.
But they're still going to lose the match.
All right. That's it for the predictions. And that will be it for tonight's episode. Yay! Tonight has been... a technical difficulty mess for Albert, unfortunately. But hopefully he'll be all right, you know. Condolences to whatever he said that was bad, you know. I couldn't hear him. But,
minor car wreck.
Yeah. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening in to Fatal 4 Radio tonight. Again, we hope Minister of Sinister has a speedy recovery. Hopefully he'll get better. Caveat, say goodbye to the lovely audience.
Yeah, get better, Minister. Later, Albert and Christian. Always fun. Ricky left a while ago. Son of a bitch. She didn't even say goodbye. And, next week.
All right. That was Caveat West. And I have been your host for this evening, Christian from Philly. Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. Good night.